You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, where we take a deep dive into all the major talking points from every single Premier League match weekend. You can subscribe and listen to our show wherever you get your podcast from. I'm Robbie Musto, joined with my old mucker as normal, Robbie Earle. And we're going to talk these points, Rob, in this show. Certainly of Mikel Arteta's Arsenal, attackers thrashing Newcastle United, Heung-min Son's last-minute winner saves the day again, and Sadio Mane with a late winner for Liverpool Football Club as well. But the VAR drama and the big game at Stamford Bridge is where we have to start, my friend. Yep. Chelsea and Manchester United. United win 2-0, and so much to talk about with Harry Maguire that should have got sent off. We have a Chelsea goal that was disallowed because of VAR. Wow. Where do you want to start, my friend? In general, with the decisions, again, I'd love to be thinking about starting with the football side of it.
Yeah.
But there's so much that VAR got involved with that between me, Carl, and Rebecca in the studio, between Lee and Graham and Arlo on the sideline, we were all in agreement there were some bad calls here. And the whole
some
point of VAR was going to be to kind of iron out that sort of stuff, clear up the errors, and have more of a fairer game. And it doesn't feel that way, Rob, does it, when you saw some of these decisions? Let's start with Harry Maguire on the 21st minute. He gets kind of pushed over by Mitchell, and then he kicks out at the Chelsea forward that looked like a violent conduct that we've seen from Heung-min Son for Spurs before.
Yeah.
What was, forget about my take for now, what was your take on that first incident?
I think straight away, Rob, what we're looking for is some consistency. Something, we're looking for an incident. As it happens, we're thinking, well, where have we seen something similar like this before? And instantly you go to the Heung-min Son, because it's almost identical in that the player goes down. There's a sort of kicking out action, regardless of how much contact is done with the bottom of the studs that we've seen, the cleats, as they're called in the US, into the player's body. I think we now believe that that would be a red card. And the procedure of the referee saying he didn't feel it was red, it goes to VAR, it has to be a clear and obvious error. Again, I'm not sure what's happened to the thing where we're saying referees, when they maybe give a yellow, go to the sideline to check that that decision's okay. Yeah. I don't know what's happened to that.
Yeah.
It seems to be almost like a re-reffing situation where somebody at Stockley Park has decided, well, it's not a clear and obvious error, so he's going to stay on the park, which seems at odds to what happened to Heung-min Son. And so, Rob, we get a situation where Maguire gets away with one, VAR takes another bashing, and it erodes some of the confidence that we're starting to build, I think, with where VAR is. Because Harry Maguire absolutely got away with one in 21 minutes. And it's a game-changer, Rob. The biggest thing that we've talked about is it's a game-changer. If Manchester United lose their captain and centre-back with just over 20 minutes in the game gone, we're talking a whole different another 70 minutes of the match.
Anthony Taylor, the referee, and we've said this a few times on our pod, Rob, that the idea of having somebody else to say to the referee, listen, this is a clear and obvious error, give him the red card or point to the spot, so he doesn't have to go to the sideline, I thought would have speeded things up. Now, number one, it hasn't speeded things up. And number two, it's made it way more inconsistent. So different. We're at a situation now where the referee, the central referee, has to go to the sideline just to take
hasn't that rule been brought forward by the Premier
League? They're encouraging it more now on this specific type, by the way,
violent
conduct and serious foul play. So he could have done it here. And we have to have that where the referee owns it now, because we don't know to blame him, to blame the guy at Stockley Park. You get a different guy in a different game with a different referee. If he goes to the sideline, you know, I'm
sure... At least looks at it two or three times.
And he owns the decision.
Correct. He may still say it's no yellow, but I think I'd feel better about that if he'd have looked at it, Rob, and still said, in my opinion, it's not a yellow.
Yeah.
But seeing the pictures that we see, seeing the action that we've done, being able to, as you did in studio very well, to put the Heung-min Son incident, yeah, and almost say those two are the same incident, two different players, two different outcomes. That can't be right.
The VAR, all he's got to do in that situation, in where the way we want it to go, is say, Anthony, just take a look. We might want to take a look at that because that looked a little bit nasty. He goes to the sideline straight away. He doesn't waste any time. And he looks at it again and says, you know what? There's a bit more on that.
Right,
I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys, but I'm good.
Absolutely.
I just think it feels better. It's less inconsistency. There's one less human being involved telling him what it was. In the same incident, refereed by two different people that are probably two different interpretations of every single law, but it got away with it. And you know what, Rob? Let's why don't we take this opportunity, because Harry Maguire was asked about it afterwards, Rob. And let's just run the sound and listen to what he says when he's asked about, did you think you should have got a red card for that challenge?
Were there also a few heart in the mouth moments tonight, particularly for you, with a potential red card for what looked, to be honest, like a kick out at 0-0?
I can see why I felt like at the time. I know I caught him, but I felt like he was going to fall on me. My natural reaction was to straighten my leg to try and, if he was to fall on me, to hold him up type of thing. Obviously, I've got studs on my boots, and it probably looks worse than it was on TV. But no, it was my natural reaction just to try and... It wasn't a kick out. It wasn't any intent or anything like that. It was just my natural reaction to straighten my leg. And if he was going to fall on me, just to... hold him up, really. And I knew I did catch him, and I knew at the time, but no, I think it's the right decision in the end.
So it sounds like it might have been quite a worrying moment while it was being reviewed for you.
Yeah, definitely, because I knew at the time I did catch him, but I knew at the time I didn't have no intent to hurt him or kick him. It was literally just a natural reaction to straighten my leg. It wasn't a kick. Obviously, I've got studs on the end of my boots, so it probably makes it a little bit worse. But no, I apologise to him, but no, it was nice that the referee seen sense.
Please talk to me, Robbie. Talk to me.
Terrible decision by VAR. Even more terrible excuse by Harry Maguire. Harry, please. You've had 10 minutes to think about it before. Fair play to him to coming in front of the cameras as Man United captain and to saying his bit. I mean, Rob, he's stopping him falling on him. It looked like one of those, you know, those gymnastic displays where somebody lies on the floor and the guy's going to land up and you've got to stick your feet up into his chest to hold him up. I mean, come on, H, you've got to do better than that, my friend.
Again, I want to apologise to the United fans and the Chelsea fans. You know, it's just quite funny hearing that reasoning behind that. Anyway, let's move on, Rob, and let's go through kind of in chronological order here. United scored a really good goal, and the football shouldn't get lost here for United. There were some good moments, and Anthony Martial, wow. We did a little bit of analysis in the studio, Rob, I think it was yesterday now, about what we might see in this game, and I kind of broke down the striking situation. Why was Ighalo brought in? What's been lacking? Rashford's been out, and Martial's been playing as a number nine. And I picked a couple of clips of him playing in a wider area and not really showing a desire to be in the middle of the goal for crosses or to get involved or to make runs in behind or play 1-2s. That he was drifting wide to try and get involved when they needed him up front. Well, that's what I'm talking about. He stayed right in the centre. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, who had a really good game, Rob, I thought, on both ends of the game, gets a great ball in, and that's a proper striker's header. Gets up early, directs it into the ground, into the corner. A brilliant header from a player that really needed that. I think it was one goal in his last five, or no goals in his last five in Premier League matches. What a good header, Rob, wasn't it?
He needed it. The team needed it. And it was a real striker's header, Rob. But, you know, as Wan-Bissaka's taking player on in the wide area, he's already starting to make his run. As the ball delivered, his timing's perfect. He goes right across the line of Christensen as the ball comes in. He gets just the kind of glance you need, because there's enough pace and power on the ball that he doesn't have to overhead it. So you're just redirecting it then to the corner, and it's a brilliant, brilliant finish. And the kind of thing that he can do, it's a little reminder of the goal prowess that he does have. It's a little reminder of, if he can focus himself down, obviously take this opportunity while Rashford's out. I know Ighalo's been brought in, but I still don't think is at the level of Martial or Rashford. If he can start producing more moments like that, Robbie Musto.
Do you think he will?
United have a really good chance because it's within him.
Can he be consistent?
That's not an off moment. That's not just him being lucky. That's what's in him, but he doesn't do it enough on a regular enough basis.
Yeah. More of that, and that's exactly what United need. Now, again, next in order, Harry Maguire. Disallowed goal. So the next is the disallowed goal for Chelsea. Kurt Zouma scores a goal overturned by VAR for a push by Azpilicueta into the back of Brandon Williams.
It was obvious. From my first look, I can see Fred nudging with his shoulder in the back of Azpilicueta. When you get nudged in those situations, your first reaction is almost to chuck your hands in front of you to stop you running into whoever else is there, because you're going to get a smack in the face. Yeah. So he then goes into Brandon Williams. The goal scored. Yeah. We go to VAR. I'm thinking, this is anyone who plays football, who knows football, who sees that happen, knows it's a goal. I was astounded. I was a bit embarrassed for VAR that it didn't give this decision, Rob, because it reflects badly on the officials who are looking at the game.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's something that I think we don't really want to say. Like, it's not a good thing to say that if you know the game,
it sounds very condescending, but
the outstretched hand from Fred, and to be fair, I had a quick look at social media and there's a lot of people that's addressed me on it saying, you know what, it's a push. I don't care what happened behind him. He's got his hands and he's pushed him. So there's going to be conflicting opinions out there. But as long as I look at it, and I've got your take on it, we've got Lee Dixon's, Graham Rousseau, Carl Martino. Yeah. I think the broadcast in the UK on Sky TV, I think they're all the same opinion that should have stood. That what can he do when at the last second, it's kind of the last second from Fred, with one hand, he pushed him forward and asked Pellegrino to put his hands up as you do, which then does. So... another really tough one to take for Frank Lampard and Chelsea Football Club. They needed that. That would have taken it to 1-1 at that particular moment in time.
We're
the same on that one. Again, moving forward, then Harry Maguire, of course, scores a really good header because he's still on the field of play. Mm-hmm. And then Olivier Giroud, Rob, in terms of the last one being offside for VAR.
That's what VAR is there for. He's a couple of inches off. Whether it's a couple of inches or not, he's offside. I think that's a clear one. Although disappointing, although would have made a better game, and almost you felt like Chelsea deserved to get something, you know, and give themselves a chance. That was a clear one. And VAR got that one right, although, you know, it didn't maybe feel right in the context of what had happened before it. Mm.
So where does that leave us, Robbie? Where does that leave us? That's a big, big result for Man United. I just want to say some people I thought played really well. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, not just the cross, he made a couple of brilliant blocks, sliding blocks. I thought Eric Bailly looked dodgy to start with and made some blocks
as well.
Came
into a game, didn't he?
Came into a game. You've got to give credit to the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, because when you change your system...
Yeah, nice setup.
...to play three at the back and Shaw being a central defender playing on the left-hand side deserves credit as well. Bruno Fernandes, lively and bright as normal. Yeah. And Martial and James. James is struggling a little bit at the moment and Agallo came on later.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of good things in United, Rob. Yeah, a lot of good things for them today, I thought.
Yeah, a lot of credit has to go to Ollie. Listen, they've closed the gap. They've beaten United, beaten Chelsea twice now. 4-0, 2-0. So, you know, two comprehensive victories. Couple of really good heady goals, whether players should have been on the pitch or not. Martial, one, Maguire, the other. Fernandes gets his first assist. He gets a goal on the pitch. Kind of a lot of positives that Ollie can take in terms of where they are in the league. And I was reading somewhere, I think, Rob, that's their fourth win against big six teams. So when they've needed to against the big boys...
Or the style of the flow of the game suits them. But they're not going to try and
break down a low defensive block. But that's a credit to sometimes how they set up, Rob. At times today, I think this Manchester United team, and I think it was Jose who said it before, and as I was watching the game, I was thinking... What Jose said is completely right. Some teams are better not having the ball because you can make mistakes that hurt you.
Yeah.
There's times this Manchester United team are not the great Manchester United team who can dominate possession and hurt you. This team are better set up. With times you have the ball, we'll be well set, we'll have a nice focus, defenders doing a good job, workmanlike people in front, and then we've got pace and a little bit of ability on the counter-attack. And if that's how they're going to win games, if that's what's going to get them in the top four, they don't have to make any excuses for that.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, and Chelsea, I keep thinking back to Frank Lampard's words, Robbie, about the January window, needing a striker. And they were linked to so many strikers. Yeah. At halftime, I said on the show, a lot of football's getting played here in this game, all in the middle third, but there was a real lack of quality either end. Now, Martial, done it. Well done.
And he
changes that, really, I guess, because he produced the quality, the goal that I thought the game was crying out for. Chelsea's side of it now, of course, you've got to ask the question a little bit more. Michy Batshuayi, he's had to be patient. He's been on the bench. He's come on and looked lively a few times, but he gets a start in the game. He had two, not great chances, but opportunities to work the goalkeeper, and he didn't. Olivier Giroud comes on, a little bit unfortunate with the offside. Where are we with the Chelsea strikers? We know that Tammy Abraham is still not quite right at the moment. Did they really need a striker?
Batshuayi's not good enough, Rob. Not good enough. I mean, it's a bit harsh, a bit brutal, but we're talking about being top four striker at the club. Today, we're with Chelsea. Some of that football, bright football, dull finishing. There's nothing at the sharp end. These lesser teams with... If you stick Jamie Vardy at the top of that team, you're talking. Because you've got a bright guy who will hit the target when he gets through in those one-on-ones. We'll bend that one with his left foot, although it's not an easy chance, but he'll find a way of making the right contact. Michy Batshuayi has had enough chances. He's a bit player. He can come on, he can have maybe one or two games, but over the course of a season, not good enough, Rob. And Giroud, if you could keep him, I'd keep him, because I think he's a great guy, can come on and do bits, but he wants to go and play football, I believe. So if there's a situation, he goes. They're desperate for a centre-forward. The pressure now to get Tammy Abraham back on the pitch, he's had some ankle injury problems. They're going to have to almost try and nurse him back onto the pitch and give him a chance. That goals are not coming from too many other parts of the pitch. Younger players who've not hit a wall, but are just starting to find the slog of the Premier League, and that's been difficult. And today, Rob, in all honesty, the technology, the VAR, has not gone in their favour.
I think Olivier Giroud, just finally on this, Olivier Giroud came on, and it just looked like he had more know-how than...
The little flick,
Batshuayi's younger, and he can close down, and he can work, and he's sharper and quicker, which we know that's what Frank Lampard wants. But Olivier Giroud comes on, he makes good runs, he holds the ball up quite well. Yeah. He deserves a run in the side. He should have a little run now, depending on Abraham and how he is. But Giroud now has been patient enough, he deserves a run of games for Chelsea now. Just big picture. Chelsea struggling, limping along a little bit. Spurs and others breathing down their necks. United closer now. In terms of the top four...
Or five, Robbie Musto.
Or five. Are Chelsea going to struggle to hang on to those?
That Man City thing might just be been a lifeline for both these clubs.
Yeah.
Chelsea and Man City may end up one of those finishing fifth and getting themselves into Champions League football. But Chelsea limping along, and I mean, it's a huge game against Spurs now, isn't it, at the weekend.
Massive. At home again. That's a big game for your home fans.
Difficult. They've not been good at home, have they? I think it's only 5 wins of the 12 games that they've played at Stamford Bridge. So it's a worry. And obviously, goals not flowing at the moment. But Frank sounded reasonably still upbeat. I think he's got to be in one of those situations where he's got to keep his players happy and lively, and they've got the game against Spurs, they've got Bayern Munich in the Champions League, and then I think it's Bournemouth, they follow that in the Premier League. So a really important couple of weeks from where they can't afford to feel sorry for themselves, can't afford to blame VAR too much. They've got to dust themselves down. As Frank says, now's the fight. Now you find a little bit out about one or two of these players, and pressure's on a little bit, and they've got to sort of come through it. I've got confidence in Chelsea. I still think they'll finish in a Champions League spot.
That
may be fifth now, but I still think they'll finish in a Champions League spot.
Okay, let's move it on to a team that we don't need to find out much about them. I think we know all about Liverpool. Another Sadio Mane, great to get him back in the side. Another winning goal from him. More quality to bring the ball down and to finish it with his left foot. It was a stunning strike. Anything in this game, Rob, that you want to add to what we already know? That Liverpool, I said this before and I'm going to say it again. Maybe it's not a great analogy, but they're like a wrestler, right? They're going to grapple. They're going to grapple with their opponent, and they're going to kind of do some moves, and they're going to have a little bit of success and not, but they'll figure out a way through the match where the weak point is. And if it's playing through midfield, if it's a ball over the top, which it was in this game, make a run in behind. Is it a counter-attacking goal? Is it a set-piece goal? Is it something crazy with a throw-in involved with a throw-in coach? They'll, over the course of it, they'll wrestle their opponent to submission and win. And it's another example again. Some of the football isn't great. They always start off slow, but they rev up and they find a way to win. And that's a cliche that's used a lot. But in terms of this team and how they do it, this team is built to figure it out. It's built to find, to push different buttons to find where the weakness is. You're doing that, okay, well, that avenue didn't work. Well, let's try this. Then we've got plan C and D and E and F and different ways to score. Another example of that from Liverpool, I thought.
You'll know this because I think you used to be an engineer, didn't you? It's almost, I think they call it a stress test. Test different parts of the opposition to see which bit's the weakest, which bit's going to bend. And eventually they do. And whether it's somebody late on Firmino doing something brilliant, whether it's one of those two fullbacks flying wide, whether it's Mane who comes on, gets his 100th Premier League goal. I mean, it's just graft and hard work, Rob, is always at the base of what they work. There's a bit of patience about them, as though there's a belief it's going to happen. They don't overforce it. There's a little bit of luck, by the way. They get a little bit of luck here and there on one or two things that could go against them.
Maybe. Yeah.
I want to mention one thing, one difference that's part of this season. Alisson, the goalkeeper, is different from Mignolet being in there, by the way.
So different.
Comes up with one or two big moments, Rob, with the save that he makes when Norwich get through and should probably have scored. But his understanding of that situation, his reading of it, he almost allowed the guy to play the pass and then got that big paw on it and dragged the ball in.
Yeah.
Difference maker. I know we talk about Van Dijk and the front three and Firmino.
Yeah,
difference
right.
maker in your goal. Keeps that clean sheet. I mean, was it 10 of the last 11 now clean sheets? Remarkable.
Yeah.
Confidence and security. And at the other end of the pitch, as you say, they will find a way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's remarkable stuff. And it, of course, it's not lost on us. But every time they keep winning a game, Rob, we have to keep giving just a little bit of data and fact here. 25 wins from 26 Premier League games is getting silly.
Yeah. 76
points. How are they?
United won a league, I think, with 75.
Yeah.
Manchester United, I think.
Yeah. Now you can say, and maybe it's not the time, Rob, to get into now about greatest ever teams in the Premier League.
We've got
a way to go before, you know, if this keeps going, we get into that.
And they haven't won anything yet.
But the quality of the league, and I don't want to get into it too much now, Rob, but we'll leave that for later shows. But just quickly, we know that four of the big six are pretty much in transition, OK? So Man City and Liverpool aren't. They're the finished articles. They've got two amazing managers that have produced two teams that England... Well, maybe. There has been great teams in England, of course, but have produced brilliant teams. But the other four in transition, is that helping these amazing numbers from Liverpool, particularly this season? I'm not sure about other seasons, but right now, that they're not getting the strongest Chelsea, Man United, Arsenal... And there's one other. Man United, Arsenal...
Chelsea.
Spurs. Yeah, they're in transition as well under Jose Mourinho. Is there anything to take away from this team because those four teams aren't as good as we expect to see them?
Robbie Musto, I don't want this conversation.
No, believe it.
I just don't want this Liverpool...
Craziness.
Craziness that's going to lead them to the title... I don't want people starting to pick it apart. I don't want people to tell me about the league. I don't want people to tell me about who's in transition and what's happened here and this one and that. When Manchester United were winning titles, they were winning titles. They were fortunate. No one said, oh, they got a great advantage.
And there might have been teams going through transition then as well.
There were teams in transition
at times.
There was new managers coming in, every team. You know, the run, oh, it's easier because of this, or it's easier because of the league at the bottom. Don't want that confidence. Don't take away.
Just chucked it in a little bit. Just threw it in there a little bit. You
don't want him not going there. Do you know what
we'll go there later.
What we should be doing as pundits and observers of the game is enjoying talking about what we're seeing, what's happening, because it's unique, Rob. Yeah. In 5 or 10 years' time, other people might be talking about this and going, do you remember that Liverpool team who won all those games, who got all those points and who kept who broke all those records? Mm. We shouldn't feel a way that we're celebrating something that we've never, ever seen in the Premier League era.
Yeah.
I'm not making any excuses for that.
No, and I think... between the story of Leicester City winning the Premier League title,
yeah,
the story of 100 points from Pep City, and now this yeah. story, we have some remarkable wow. stories wow. in the last, yeah. you know, 4 years that you're right.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Can you imagine you've waited 30 years for one, and then it comes like this?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this ain't you having a baby. This is you having triplets. I mean, it's all come together, hasn't it? Mm. I mean, wow.
Let's move on.
There's more podcasts yeah. to come with Liverpool. Yeah,
yeah, I'm sure
absolutely.
There is. Okay, Aston Villa.
Mm.
Heung-min Son again does the business. Bjorn Engels has a funny game where he scores yeah. a goal and he makes an awful error. Penalty not originally called after Engels. Tackle on Steven Bergwijn. Again, it seems like there's so much stuff, so many incidents in these games. But isn't that typical of a Jose team to find a way late on to win the game? El Dorel, of course, with the own goal early
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Crazy game.
It was a crazy game. And you make a point that Jose's team have sort of found a way. He never gives up. But the thing about this, Rob, is it's been a bit un-Jose Mourinho-like.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
it's their fourth 3-2 win since he's taken over. 3-2 is not a score that Jose Mourinho does. His teams don't do 3-2s. They'll do 1-0s or maybe a 2-1 and he's not happy that they've conceded. But he's not a 3-2 man. Mm. There's not been that clean sheets that we've seen. I think they conceded 17 goals since he's taken over. Mm. There's not been that control and that defensive setup. It's almost, and I wrote a note, it's a bit like a Poch team managed by Jose. It's what we used to get under Poch, isn't it, really? It's not what I thought at this time we'd be getting right. Defensive setup, giving nothing away, keeping it clean, getting the odd 1-0, and that's what he does. Listen, has he changed? Has the league changed? Are the players not just able to do it the way he does? At the moment, they're getting results. I think his form's good, isn't it? Since he's taken over at Tottenham, only Liverpool have got more points than Spurs. So something's going right. He's finding a way. He's getting goals from other sources. He's got pace in Bergwijn and Son and Lucas who can give him that threat while Harry's out. Mm. Very un-Jose-like, but they're sitting fifth in the table, Rob. They beat Chelsea next week and you wouldn't put money against that, and all of a sudden they're top four.
What it is Jose-like is for us to say of one of his teams, yeah, they're not this or they're not that, or they're not attacking, they're counter, they do this, they don't possess the ball, but they win, they get results. Yeah, and that's why you got to respect, even though it doesn't look great, it continues to get results, unless things go sour and then things go crazy and then he loses a club or whatever. But in general, when he's doing his thing, the teams get results. And, you know, another great example of even just think about 2 weeks ago, Rob, the Man City game where they win 2-0, where you think that's more like it against a good side they defend. But they gave up a load of chances.
18 attempts. Yeah. Apparently Villa had something like 18 attempts at the weekend. Jack Grealish leading his team and making things happen. Jose not shutting it down. I don't know if that's the way he is, whether that's the way the players work, as you say, getting it done, finding a way, but not in the manner that we've normally seen him control games and not allow people to get a good look at his goal.
Maybe this season he's just going to not do too much.
Yeah.
Not change too much. Let him play a little bit. Let him go a little bit.
Yeah.
And get a real good sense of what he needs for the summer, in the next window. Because that's when you're going to see it. You're kind of seeing it. Now, I looked at the bench. Jason Fernandez came on. Dembele's on the bench. Giovanni Lo Celso is on the bench. You know, there's a transition that's waiting to happen. He's just being careful with that to see how it might look together. Bergwijn looks lively, Rob. He looks quick, he looks lively. He always wants to get in behind, which I love forwards. The first thought is to, you know, can I get in behind on balls through? He looks lively and very good so far. So, again, another big victory for Spurs. Heung-min Son is a player, isn't he? I mean, he's just a guy that you want. Yeah. He looks as fresh from the first minute to the last minute. And he gets that goal later on, he's through.
It was never in doubt, was it? The moment he gets there, you're thinking goal.
Well,
that was against Pepe Reina, who had
an unbelievable game.
Outstanding day.
Yeah, because he thwarted him a few times before that.
He
shot earlier to get it away from the goalkeeper more, and they get a great result. So Spurs continue to go. I have him in the top four, Rob, and I know they haven't got Kane, and I know they give up chances, and I know that, but that's what happens.
Called it back, hasn't he?
Yeah.
They were 14th when he took over. They're fifth now. Rob can go fourth. Ten places jump if they win the weekend.
Quick line on Villa.
Mm.
Do they... I kind of admire them for going for it. So they score a goal and they continue to go for it. Where other teams, like Watford, will score and then they'll try and defend it, which hasn't worked. He tries to go for it. Is it too much? Are they balanced enough to create a team that stays in the league? Or is this... basically, is Dean Smith doing this right or wrong?
They do it. I think he's doing this right. I think you've got to dial it down a little bit, Rob. A little bit. You've got to be a little bit tight. You've got to say, OK, I know my players maybe are more offensive. I know they like possession, but we've got to do some of those other things just to fight and scrap and make sure that, I mean, they're a point above relegation. Remember, obviously, West Ham play midweek.
Yeah.
Maybe don't get anything in City, but they're going to be right in it, Villa. And it's interesting. Somebody, I saw somebody made a note of said, there was a certain John Terry sitting in one of the dugouts. How both teams could have done with them. Jose from his old Chelsea days.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they had a defence where they conceded only 15 goals in the season at Chelsea. And how Villa could almost do with someone. You see the mistake by Engels. And that just doesn't happen if it's a JT. And you might end up getting a point. But, it's going to be tight for Villa, Rob. I think it's going to be really, really close. And I kind of hope they do for Dean Smith and the fans, and that they've had a go, but sometimes you've just got to, you know, do what's necessary to make the points to stay up.
Final game we're going to talk about, Robbie, is Arsenal and Mikel Arteta's slow changes there starting to take effect. I was particularly critical at half time. I thought the first half from Arsenal was slow. This is on the back of previous games where they look better tactically. That looks better. And now it's, come on then, players. Come on then, players. Show us what you've got. And the star players have been trusted. The Mesut Ozils. Nicola Pepe, I was harsh on at
half-time. That was a very attacking lineup, wasn't it?
It was attacking lineup, but we've seen that before and not enough's happening. And the first half is another example of that. Nothing. Slow football. No real quality. Nicola Pepe, too many times for me, for what he can do going forward, gets the ball and plays it backwards, plays it sideways. Turn face forward and take on your defender if you're in that situation. Second half, and maybe Arteta, it sounds like from the player interviews afterwards that he was demanding more energy in the second half.
He gets into him, doesn't he? Yeah.
And that's what happened. And it was so much better from them. And the players I criticised stepped up and were much better. And social media, well, I had a good laugh and joke about that, which is absolutely fine. If Pepe's got to be given a bit of a, you know, a bit of a rocket from his manager, these goals and these assists for him are going to help him show us the real Nicola Pepe, then that's what the Arsenal fans want to see. However it comes, they want to see the best version of an $88 million signing that we probably expected a little bit more from, given the time he's had now to settle into the football club. But second half, Rob, with that, was it really good Arsenal or really disappointing and shockingly open Newcastle United in the second half?
I'm going to go really good Arsenal. I want to give Mikel Arteta a little bit of love, Rob, because we've seen a couple of games now where he's had to go in half-time and he's probably had to light a fire under one or two and get them going. And we've seen what I liked is he's got a reaction. You know, regardless of, and you were right, in first half, it was a bit languid, it was a bit lacklustre, no intensity. People weren't committing and taking players on. But he got a reaction out of him, and he gets four goals. He gets four different goal scorers. He gets some good football against a Newcastle team that will sit deep, that have made it difficult. That's why, you know, Steve Bruce has done so well this season. And I think he deserves a bit of credit. And it's like Pepe, Rob. I was thinking about this one. I was thinking, you know, he's had 2 or 3 years under Pep where they've probably had Leroy Sané, who can be a bit Nicola Pepe-esque. And he's a great footballer, can change a game, but sometimes doesn't give you enough, sometimes doesn't have the focus. And he's maybe seen a little bit how he's been managed and is maybe bringing a little bit of that experience to try and get the best out of Pepe and some of the other younger players. From the other point of view and where the dial's changed, I think you talked about it a little bit at the weekend. He looks like he's gone in there to get the structure better in the team, which was necessary. Defensively, to be a bit stronger. Yep. Back-to-back clean sheets for the first time for, I think it's nearly 10 or 11 months. Tells you that there's work to do there. But he's kind of getting that bit right, but then go the dial the other side and say, but we can play, but we can still do the other side. And he got that in the second half. Now it's about trying to find the balance within a game. So it's not one half defending, one half attacking. Mm. How can we make both those things happen in both halves of the game? That's a challenge. Mm. But I like what he's doing, Rob.
I like listening to him. As well.
I like what he says. You know, sometimes managers come out and you go, I don't quite understand what he means there.
Yeah.
I like what he says. He's honest. He tells it as it is. And I thought that was a really important win for him. Just the manner of getting the goals on a day when they were talking about, you know, the seats weren't filled, the storm was in, you know, not great things going on, 10th in the league. Mm. That still gives them a little outside chance. I've looked at the league, they're 6 points behind, I think it's first seven behind Chelsea. So, you know, as games come up in the next few weeks, they could find themselves on the edge of things.
There's a lot of talk about the amount of draws they've had.
Yeah, yeah.
Improve performance level, turn those draws into wins.
Mm.
They can absolutely climb the league table. So, so absolutely right. I like what he's done so far, Arteta.
Yeah.
I like the shape of the side. I'm just, and we saw it in the second half, I just want the players to step up now. Come on, you've got a good manager. You respect him. The shape and the structure of the team is right. You've got Mesut Ozil playing where he wants to play. Come on. And they did it. So fair play to Arsenal. 4-0 victory for them against Newcastle United. Okay, my friend, the last part of the show, we always like to try and do this every weekend.
Yes, sir.
Where we just kind of highlight the underappreciated performers of the week. So you start with yours, my friend.
Well, it's got an Arsenal theme, and it's a young man who's fitted in at left-back for Arsenal. He's more of a wide player, well-known as a wide player, England youth international, 18-year-old. Bukayo Saka, Robbie Musto, has been an absolute find for this football club. In a group where they've got many young players, with the Martinellis and Guendouzis and Traorés, Wilcock and Ketia. This kid's got a confidence. The nutmeg through the legs before he gets the ball. He's a auxiliary left-back at the moment. I think he might end up in a wide player, but he's learning. He'll get better. As he matures, I think Arsenal are going to get a very special player who's got 8 assists already this season in all competitions. I think that's the most that's of anyone good. At the club.
Yeah.
So he's got some talent, this kid, and he's been an absolute find for them in a position that probably not his best position, but he's learning. It will help his game if he moves forward to understand a bit of that defensive role. He's my underappreciated player of the week, and I think a star in the making.
Yeah, I mean, I think Arsenal got some good young players coming through, which is great news for Arteta. So mine is a player that, again, it happens a lot to me where I watch a game and Rebecca asks me something about a player. I'm like, don't think Matai Vidra is going to come on and do anything for you. We've seen him before at Watford. His numbers, you look at all the stats, are not very good. And yet he then comes up with a winning goal for Burnley and a beautiful take and finish and clip and strike with his left foot and powers into back of net. And of course, we all start laughing because, you know, Musto's with the kiss of death again. You know, I put somebody away and they popped up and scored a great goal. So, underappreciated from me as well. Matai Vidra there to get the winning goal for Burnley in their victory against Southampton away. He's underappreciated by me and he showed me that with a brilliant, brilliant goal.
The Musto curse strikes again. You want to be named in a lineup and for Musto to
have
give
a, go
you
at
a little
you,
bit of criticism because you know you're desperate
come
for
through.
A hat trick.
Yeah.
Absolutely good game. Mm. Listen, mate, great stuff as ever. I have to say, it was a little bit of a VAR, not again, the big game at Stamford Bridge. But United got all 3 points and closed the gap now on Frank Lampard's team to 3 points as they chase a Champions League spot. And talking of Champions League, look out for our Euro poddy this week on Thursday, February the 20th, when we'll review teams from both the Champions League and the Europa League, and we'll also assess the fallout at Manchester City. They face West Ham in that pre-arranged game, and we'll see City's first appearance since getting that 2-year ban from Champions League competition. So we'll see if that affects them on the pitch. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musto together with the two Robbies. Thanks for listening. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.